This is Building Bridges, your community and labor report, with a working class perspective on 911. I'm Mimi Rosenberg.
And I'm Ken Nash.
Thousands of New York City Union members gathered at Battery Park for a Labor Day commemoration, which memorialized the workers who were killed at the World Trade Center, as well as workers still suffering today due to the economic impact of 9/11. In addition to the physical and emotional devastation, September 11 took an enormous economic toll. There are at least 100,000 people in New York City still out of work as a direct result of the devastation of 9/11.
Numerous speakers raked President Bush over the coals for his disdain for workers' issues and especially his plan to de-unionize workers in the new Department of Homeland Security. Mention was also made of the need to extend unemployment benefits and to use $1 billion from the federal 911 funds to create public and private sector jobs.
But what Mayor Bloomberg and Governor Pataki prominently featured in the dais and in the program, singing the praises of workers, criticism of their failings to address the needs of workers post 9/11, only came out toward the end of the program. So let's now hear some of what was said on Labor Day 2002, starting with Michael Fishman, president of Local 32BJ of the Service Employees International Union.
We have had a rough year. It's been rough for all of us. A year ago on September 11th, Local 32BJ had 1,200 members employed at the World Trade Centers. When you walked in the door, you met a security officer, that was one of our members. When you went up in the elevator, that was one of our members. Our members cleaned the building. Our members washed the windows. Our members were tour guides. On September 11th, we had 324 members working at the time of the attack, and 24 did not make it out. Many others were injured, and everyone, of course, lost their job. As the economy worsened, it has been rough for everyone. Our members are not back at work. The economy of the city has not recovered. And that means for all of us that our workers, our members have not recovered. And that we have to fight together to make sure we have a recovery. It's been a rough year, but we're looking ahead to a better year. We are banding together to work with you because we have one belief. If New York City is going to recover, then we have to make it recover. Corporate America has gone another way. Corruption, greed, they've walked out on us. It's now time for us to take charge. Are we ready?
The Assistant to the Vice President of Communication Workers of America, Brother Peter Maher.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. The corporate and political elite has forgotten that the economy is based on the well-being of the workers who produce our wealth and consume most of our products. Corporate America is abandoning the workers of our nation, our state, and our city. Let's look at New York City. The city government will consider layoffs because there's an impending $1 billion gap in the recently passed budget. The public story is that these deficits result from the declining economy. But there's an untold story. The current New York City and New York State budget crises have their roots in the massive tax cuts given to the richest New Yorkers. From 1994 to 2000, the top 5% of taxpayers obtained $27 billion in tax cuts. Furthermore, New York eliminated the stock transfer tax that was established in 1907. This tax was just a nickel per share, but our corporate elite and their representatives ended this tax in 1981. If it were in effect today, it would generate $7.8 billion. Now, our economic crisis is the result of decisions made in corporate boardrooms and government offices, and the overriding policy in this company has been, country has been to reward the rich and powerful, the new robber barons, while abandoning us, the workers. Now it's up to us, the workers of New York City, New York State, the entire U.S. to stand up and advocate policies that will reward the great majority of Americans. Let's increase the minimum wage and worker comp benefits in New York. Let's end corporate welfare as we know it in New York City, New York State, and the U.S. Let's reestablish a fair tax system based on ability to pay. Let's stop privatization and subcontracting. Let's enact real labor law reform so that we have the right to organize. Let's establish comprehensive health care for all Americans. Let's invest in public services such as education, welfare, and housing. And let's make sure that government regulators, both federal and state, actually protect consumers and workers by making sure that gigantic corporations adequately invest in their workers and infrastructure instead of lining their own pockets. We can do it, sisters and brothers. We can do it.
United States House of Representatives will take up debate on the Homeland Security issue. And here with us tonight is the National Vice President of the American Federation of Government Employees, a good friend, Derek Thomas, who's going to tell us what we have to do. Derek Thomas.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. One of the things that is happening, and every union member needs to be aware of it, is a bill on Homeland Security. In that bill is a provision to deny collective bargaining and union rights to 70,000 federal employees who currently have union rights. And under the guise of patriotism, George Bush and a bunch of right-wing Republicans are saying that you cannot work for the federal government and be a union member. Well, a year ago today, less than 10 blocks from here, George Bush stood before a bunch of our union brothers and sisters from building trades, from uniform workers, and said that he heard us. We want him to hear us again, and the message we want him to hear this time is that being a union member is not the same as being a terrorist. We want him to know that the best patriots in this country are union members. And finally, we want him to know that if he wants a secure homeland, it requires a secure workforce, and the best secure workforce is a unionized workforce. Thank you, brothers and sisters. God bless you, and God bless the labor movement.
We're with you, American Federation of Government Employees. Welcome the President of the United Federation of Teachers, Sister Randy Weingarten.
This is what I want to say to you. Today is a day that we honor and should continue to honor the brave work of everyone on September 11th and beyond. The rescue workers who perished that day, the workers that others have recognized here who worked day in and day out after that to make sure that this was the best, the most successful recovery and rescue and then renovation work. But what I want to say to all the elected leaders that were here, all those elected leaders, both current and those who want to be, remember, sing our praises when it counts. Sing our praises when workers who are unemployed need your help. Sing our praises when we are trying to organize and an employer is recalcitrant. Be with us on that line. Sing our praises when our pensions get attacked. And sing our praises when our workers need a living wage. That's when people should sing our presence.
With New York City and the nation plagued with the political and economic aftermath of the World Trade Center disaster, if there was a time that demanded mass protest, it is now. But the planning of Labor Day 2002 seemed designed to produce a small, subdued event. While hundreds of thousands of people usually participate in Labor Day in New York City, only about 5,000 people showed up for Labor Day 2002.
Canna's Mother Jones, the great turn-of-the-century labor organizer, said, "We must pray for the dead and fight like hell for the living." This has been Building Bridges, your community and labor report with the September 11th special. I'm Mimi Rosenberg with Ken Nash.